Well, the story we had much earlier this week, Postal Service buying and soliciting ammunition. 2 billion rounds of ammunition the feds have decided that they want to buy. 2 billion rounds. They're saving it for something, or they know something's going on. It is really, really weird. It really is. Anyways, we're going to come back. Final hour to go here of Open Lines. Special hotline for you. Here's the number, first of all, 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Let's lighten it up a little bit. I want you to tell me, what was your most incredible moment in your life? Let's share it. 818-817-0021. No doom and gloom tonight. And welcome back to Coast Worldwide. You know, we are starting in March to be broadcast in Helsinki, Finland. That's amazing. They decided they wanted the program, and off they go. So, I sat down with our affiliates people, and I said, you know what? You need to get us in every country that understands English, and let's get going. So we're going to work on that. Let's go to Tuesday, Long Beach, California. Tuesday, hi.
Hi, George. Well, what would you like, a good uplifting story or one of the spooky stories?
I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. Well, I've got two real quick ones on it. The first one was when I was about 19, I was living at home, and my parents were out of town, and I was sleeping, and I was awoken up. It was weird how I woke up, because so I felt like somebody was in the hallway that was watching me or something. And so I sat up at the edge of my bed, and that's as far as I was able to go. And my whole body was frozen. I could see in the hallway this black figure, had a hood on him, just floating in there, staring at me. And I mean, and its face was just, it was horrendous. Mm. And I kept thinking to myself, I wanted to get up and run. But I literally could not move. Nothing in my body could move. I could think, and I could hear myself think, but I couldn't even open my mouth. And finally, as I yelled at myself, and asked for some spiritual help to let me go, it let me go and then went out of the house. Well, I went across the street to spend the night. Well, the next day, I get a phone call, and my grandmother had died.
Oh.
So I don't know if it was that type of visitation for something that had to do with it.
Might have been.
Or whatever it was, but I'll tell you, I never want to see one of them things again. And the second story I have is with someone I know, Peter James.
Yeah.
The famous Peter James. I was good friends with Peter. And so we, after Peter had passed, a bunch of us went up to Queen Mary, and we were doing some investigations up there. And we were in the famous pool room. And we were doing some EVPs, and in the EVP, I asked Peter if he was there, and you could hear Peter in the EVP saying, hello, hello, and and we were taking some photos, and right behind me, sure enough, plain as day, is a picture of Peter.
I love it. Great story.
That's me? Pretty
story.
Good.
Thanks, Tuesday.
Take care, George. Thanks a lot.
Take care, too. Let's go to David on our special hotline in Wisconsin. Hey, David, go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, David. Thank you.
Pleasure. First time caller. Listened to you for 8 years. Anyways, my story. I'm a 1980 Eagle Scout. In 2000, I created a troop dealing with the mentally disabled.
Okay.
And I have graduated 2 Eagle Scouts from these boys.
That's fantastic.
And my understanding is they are 2 of only 6 in the nation that have ever achieved the rank of Eagle.
Good for you.
And I am so proud of these boys. They know nothing but love. I deal with Special Olympians. And I tell you, I sort of had a little bit, maybe this is my redemption or something, and what I was supposed to do, because I sort of had a little bit of a whack. Black growing up,
yeah,
and everything, or the bad boy and stuff like that. But I tell you now, it's like I devote myself. I'm a truck driver. I listen to you at night. And I tell you, you keep me awake. The show has always kept me awake. Well, and sorry to see John D. leave.
Yeah, me too.
I really enjoyed him.
It's a long story, which I'm not going to get into, but I'm disappointed in that too.
But it's been great talking to you.
Okay, my friend. Be well.
Yep, you too.
Okay, next up, we go to Mark in New York, east of the Rockies. Hey, Mark, thanks for holding.
Yeah, good morning. Second-time caller. I love your show, and you treat everybody fair with respect, and you have a great open mind. I feel like I got a lot in common with you, George. I know you had a lot of researchers of UFOs on your station. I'd like to get your opinion from your experience. Why do people see so many different types of UFOs and the shapes and sizes? My quick question is, do you think there's different races? Why is there so many different types of UFOs that people are seeing? And it always seems to be at nighttime. I did experience something when I was a kid, lights in the skies. My whole neighborhood did. Most of the sightings are at night. You very seldom see things in the daytime. Why do you think there's so many different types of UFOs?
Well, you know, good question, Mark. You know, in the early days, a lot of people used to report seeing cigar-shaped UFOs, or then, of course, the discs, which we still see. But now we get these large triangular-shaped objects and everything else. I think that they go through a metamorphosis as well. I think there's probably a bigger ship all around the planet, and they just come from there, the smaller ones. And they're different sizes and shapes. Remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind? And when Richard Dreyfuss was hiding by the mountain, and these things would zoom by him, they were all different shapes. They were diamond shaped. They were round ones. They were rectangular. All kinds of things. So they just have different shapes, you know. And they have a propulsion system that obviously doesn't need to worry about our aerodynamics. But they're different. Anthony's in Bayhead, New Jersey. Hello there, Anthony.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hi, George. Oh, listen, I'm so happy to be talking to you tonight.
Well, good.
First-time caller, and I've been listening to your show now for a couple of years since I took an overnight position at a pharmacy where I work in New Jersey. And can you hear me?
Yep, I'm listening.
Oh, and I made Coast Insiders out of half of the people that I work with.
Oh, that's great. So, good for you.
Yes,
thank you.
We always talk about, you know, what we're going to be listening to on the show tonight and everything else. And it's great. I love the show. I'm a first time caller. So
now,
anyway, have a
first time you tried or first time that you got through?
I tried a few times, but this is the first time I got through.
All right, great. What's what do you got for us?
Well, anyway, here's what happened. It's a ghost story. And so I'm working at this place overnight. It's a pharmacy, right? And it's at first, when we first started, it was just me and one other person in charge of locking up at night before, you know, shutting down and going home. So it was in July over the summer. I was ready to lock up with this other person, my assistant. And I said, oh, geez, I said, you know, I forgot. I have to go in and get some papers that I forgot. I have to bring them home. So I had to go back into the store. All the lights were off. Everything was shut down. So, and I had to go into the way back of the building where the paperwork was. So as I walked down the long corridor in the dark, I finally get into the room where the paperwork that I needed was. And I stopped and looked, and there was a person looking back at me. Somebody that wasn't supposed to be there.
Hmm.
And it was a full manifestation of a ghost.
I got to tell you, now, when you went through that, what did you think was actually happening?
I couldn't believe it. I just stood there for a second, and it wasn't like you see on television when they try to portray ghosts where you can see through them. This ghost actually had form and everything, just looked like a regular person, just like you or me. And it stood there in front of me for about 3 seconds and then just disappeared. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. But this is just the first part of the story. I just got out of there. went back, got to the exit of the building, and got the key and just locked up. And I turned to my assistant and I said, you know, I just think I saw a ghost in there. And she said to me, do you know that I thought I saw something there tonight too. I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to think I was crazy. So that was a particular night in July. The next day, we had spoken about what had happened. And just to realize that the person that we saw was somebody who had passed away there exactly 1 year ago prior. So that was the story.
I love it.
It was amazing.
And feel free to call in. Every 30 days, we let new callers call in, okay?
All right. Well, I hope I hope they gave you a good story tonight.
I like it. I like it. Ghost stories at their best. Jesse in Great Falls, Montana. Hey, Jesse, it's your turn on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George. Is that you?
Yeah, it sure is.
Thank you. I love your show. Anyway, I have a bit of a story, and I need your help on this. I don't know what category to put it into. It is kind of a happy story, too, but the day my father decided to commit suicide. He was living with his retired father, obviously, up in Cudbank, staying in his ex-mother's. His mother died in her old room. He just sleeping on a small bed and a dresser drawer there with a TV on top. And he was really despondent, obviously. He went through a divorce with my mother, he so loved dearly. He was in financial ruination. Anyway, he didn't know they were out of it. He went to the drawer, brought his gun. He put a shell into it, and just before he did the deed, if you will, he said, I want to pray one last time. He got his knees, and he started to pray something, you know, the point of, pray me, Father, what to do, take care of my dad, my kids, my grandkids, blah, blah. Just then he felt something touch his right shoulder. He looked over, and there was a single red rose petal on his shoulder. Now, is that a ghost story? Is that an angel story?
It might be an angel story. Reminds me of the song I play on Christmas Eve, Scarlet Ribbons, which is an amazing story, too. Yeah, that sounds more of a very uplifting, not ghostly at all.
Okay.
I like that. Well done. Michael's in Peoria, Illinois. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, George, how you doing? Hey, this is I would put it in the angel category. I was in prison in Brixton Prison in London. And I was up for extradition back to the United States. I'd been there for 7 months, and I'm a serious Christian. But at the time, I brought a lot of people to Christ. But anyway, at one night, it was around midnight, my time for extradition was about up. The feds were going to come get me and take me back.
Yeah.
And in order to avoid that, I was considering, it was just a thought in my head. I wasn't really going to do it, but if I would have actually attacked somebody, they would have had to keep me there for another charge. The window of opportunity for the feds would have, they wouldn't have been able to pick me up, and I would have been able to stay there. But so I'm thinking about this one night, and I'm praying, and suddenly a man comes to my door, and he says, Michael, don't worry about it. The Lord will take care of you. And he walked away, and my response was, well, I know that, but who are you? And I went to the door, and he just walked away. And that was just, it wasn't a guard, and I'm not schizophrenic. I don't see things. So, I was in the angel category, and just one thing. At the end of Revelation, John bows to the angel who's telling him the revelation, and he says, don't do that. I'm one of your brothers, right? That's in the end of Revelation. He says it twice, actually. And in the Bible, like three times, angels say to the people they come to, do not fear. Do not fear. They said it to Mary. They said it to several people. So, and they don't have fluttery wings. So I think it was an angel, but that's my story.
All right. I love that story. Now you talk about bizarre. Listen to this. So I was dialing part of my credit card company today, and you had to punch in your last four letters of your name on the phone, right? And so I'm looking at the phone. Don't freak. I'm looking at the phone, and I'm typing in the last three letters of my name, right? And it comes up 666. It really did. I mean, don't freak. Don't freak. But it did. Let's go to our wild card line, June in Rhinebeck, New York. Hi, June.
Hi. I actually had a quick question. You had a really neat guest on about a year ago. He was very down-to-earth, older gentleman, bit of a southern accent, sounded almost like a, you know, an old cowboy sort of. But, and he was talking all about intention, and he did this experiment where he said that everybody listening, that he would send out the intention that everyone would feel, you know, sort of acceptance instead of battling whatever might be going on in their lives.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, do you recall who that was?
Was that David Kessler?
Is he kind of older and very down to earth and sounds like a kind of southern guy? Or
yeah, now if you
very southern,
did you
down to earth.
Did you have the exact date?
Like some, you know, flashy or anything like that, but I think he had something.
If you could give me the exact date you heard the show, I could do that for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't know, but okay. I'll check that out, David Kessler. I wanted to know if you thought that this was possibly coincidence or beyond coincidence. Right after my father died, I felt very nostalgic, and I wanted to call a girlfriend that I hadn't spoken to in like 20 years, neighborhood quite far away. I dialed the number, and somebody else picked up, and the one number reversed with another number, and I checked the number. I dialed properly, but something happened in the lines where one number interchanged with another, and I ended up getting a stepsister who I had wanted to meet before my father died. She picked up the phone, and I was asking for my friend Mary Ellen, and she said, oh, no, and she said her name, and I said, you know, I said what my name was, and she was like, oh, I said, I didn't mean to call you. Are you my stepsister? And it was quite interesting because then I looked again to see if I misdialed, and I had not. Something happened in the phone lines to connect me to her, but I don't know. Could it possibly have been some weird glitch in the phone lines and it wasn't my father?
Well, you never know. What does your heart tell you?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose I don't know what the actual statistics would be, but it seemed pretty canny that it, you know, uncanny rather.
A lot of people will get these calls from the other side over and over again. Sometimes on caller ID, they show up as zeros, X's. But Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who wrote the book Talking to the Dead with me, she's convinced that after death, your dearly departed one will try to communicate with you. And the phone line is one of the ways, because everything's electronic, everything's electricity and energy. And it's all there. So that is very possible. Look, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and we're going to take some final open line calls. And don't forget our special hotline, and that's open for you too at 818-817-0021. One of your most incredible, happiest moments. Check in with us, and we shall be right back. Okay, on our next Coast to Coast program, Rob Simone joins us as he talks about the lost secrets of ancient America. Then on Sunday, Dave Schrader joins us, and he'll be talking about what Big Pharma is trying to do to all of us. And then, of course, I'll be back Monday, full group of great programs for you on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go west. Sue's with us in Chico, California. Hey, Susan, go ahead.
Hi. My name is Sue. Good evening. I had two really neat moments in my life. I've had many, but one of them was when I met Paul Harvey, the news reporter.
Right.
He was speaking in my hometown. That was amazing.
How old was he then?
How old was he or how old was I?
How old was he? I would never ask you, Sue.
I'm in my 60s, but I don't know what his age was at that time. I really don't know.
Okay.
But it was like in the 1950s, I think, that I met him. And he was very, very nice to me. And I remember he was a very tall man, and he stooped down because I was just a little bitty girl.
Yeah.
And the other amazing thing was I had an Austrian friend one time, and the Lipizzaner horses were performing. And I don't know if you realize it, but the security behind those things is phenomenal. Well, she wrote a letter to the Austrian consulate, and she and I got to go back in the barn. And I don't know if you know this, but I can't see. I'm a blind person. And I got to feel everything they used with those horses, and they explained everything to me about how they worked with them and stuff. It was amazing.
Yeah. Those are beautiful animals.
They beautiful. Are. But when you get to feel them, and you can't see them, it makes even more of an impact. And I did get to touch them.
Yeah. You could feel the power of that horse.
Yes. And by the way, are you going to put your Coast to Coast magazine in an accessible format for blind folks? You've never, ever had it accessible for any of us.
Well, we don't do the magazine after dark anymore.
So, oh, you don't?
No, so you don't have to worry about that. We do have a newsletter that comes out, but that, you know, that just goes to people straight on their computers.
I thank you, and I enjoy you very much.
Thanks, Sue. Thanks. Great story. Paul Harvey was a tremendous individual. I met him a couple of years before he died. Here in Los Angeles, he was at an event and speaking, and just what a powerhouse in broadcasting truly was. Southern Virginia we go. Greg is with us. Hey, Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, how are you tonight?
Good, Greg. Thank you.
Yeah, my most incredible moment was in July of 1982, and I just moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, went into a business to have some dinner and shoot some pool, and we walked in. I was looking around the room for a place to sit, and from across the room I met eyes with the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And about an hour later I got the courage to go ask her out, and she turned me down. I kept trying a couple of weeks. We keep going back, and finally the friend I was with was always with me, and she always was with the same girl, one of her friends. And about the third time, she said, yeah, I'll go out with you as long as they can come with us. And I said, absolutely, no problem. So
better than nothing.
That's right. Next night, we came to the same place, had dinner. And when I first went in the place, the first time I saw her from across the room, I told my friend, I said, I'm going to marry her. And he said, "You get out of here. You're crazy." Well, when we finally went out, come to find out during the conversation at the dinner table, she had told her friend the same exact thing about me from across the room at the same time. That was, like I say, 1982. I was 22 and she was 18. And 3 months later, we got married, been married 31 years.
What a great story.
Two children and six grandchildren.
What a great story. How magical is that, huh?
Oh, well, it's awesome. Like I say, it's just, a lot of incredible things have happened to me in my life. Been very fortunate, but that there's just tops them all.
I love that story. Thanks for that, Greg.
All right, thanks.
That's a great story. Love stories that end like that. It's what it's all about. Next up, let's go to Seattle, Washington. First time caller Terry is with us. Congratulations on your Seahawks, Terry.
Go Seahawks.
Wow. What a massacre that was last week.
Oh, that was a bloodbath. Hey, it was beautiful. The post office is not the one doing the buying on the bullets. The post office just had to raise their rates. They're so broke. I was born in North Dakota. In North Dakota, we say before you can connect the dots, you got to find the next dot.
That's right.
They're closing down post offices. They're so broke. They're talking about discontinuing Saturday service. I can guarantee you it wasn't the post office. That's a cover buy. They bought it under the name of the post office.
Ah.
Eisenhower warned us about the U.S. and military industrial complex, and the military is nothing but the sneaky arm of the U.S. government, and the U.S. government is supposed to be for the people, by the people, and of the people. Edward Snowden right now for freedom has to live in Russia. Are we surprised that Trump said, this will be the most transparent government in history? The only way we're finding out the truth ain't from Obama, the guy who said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance.
He was wrong.
Every time he opens his mouth, he's lying. So now it's not the post office. It's just another purchase by the U.S. government. and they're either going to use it against us, or they're going to send it to rebels in Syria, or they're going to use it for some other nefarious reason.
Or they want to take it off the market so we can't buy it.
Every time I go to the gun show every month, I buy another $100 worth of bullets. Because if the government's buying it, you better believe the big people better start buying bullets.
Let me give you a website too, Terry, one of our sponsors, cheaperthandirt.com. They've got it on stock, and they get it right to you at a discount.
I get their catalog every time a new one comes out, and I've bought items from them already. But isn't it amazing that the guy won't even produce his birth certificate?
I know. We've been down that road.
Yes, and also, have you heard the IRS, with our tax money, they're going to start giving IRS employees
bonuses. Yeah.
That's not their money to give them.
Nope.
This is going sideways, and now we're starting to see the transparency, but it's coming from the people, our people.
Well, let me tell you, Terry, some good news about all of this. People like you, shows like this, where we continue to talk about it and bring cutting-edge guests on to talk about it, we're not going to stop, and we're going to win eventually. We're going to turn this around. It's not going to be easy. Absolutely not. You ever been in a car that hits potholes? It's not an easy ride. We're not going to have an easy ride. But I think we're going to win in the long run. You just keep doing what you're doing. We'll keep doing what we're doing. Thanks for the call. David in Buffalo, New York. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, sir?
Good, David.
How you feeling today?
Good. All is well.
I'm calling to get your thoughts. I'm sure you're familiar with Nibiru, Planet X.
Yes, sure.
Well, I have a family member who is also very into that thing. He's got me into the whole ancient alien thing and love the work. But anyway, last Tuesday, February 4th, I asked for a sign in my prayers, and I believe I got one. February 5th, I seen a red crescent in the sky. Wednesday morning, it was visible from 6:15 a.m. until 7:15 a.m. when the sun was high enough in the sky to light the sky up enough. But it was an obvious red crescent. If I had to place it, it was halfway between where the sun would have come up on the horizon and Venus on a 45-degree angle. My father saw it Monday morning. I saw it Wednesday morning. We have not seen it since.
What do you think the sign means, though?
Well, I believe I got two signs, because the same morning, now it's 7 degrees here in Buffalo right now, 15 below with the wind chill.
Ouch.
It's been like that all winter.
Yeah, it has.
And that same morning, my windshield cracked in the shape of a crescent. Right above my heater.
A tough way to get another sign, but there it is.
I'm telling you, brother, I was just kind of wondering what your thoughts were on this whole thing, because I was kind of half on the fence all this time until I seen that in the sky. It's an obvious red crescent. The moon doesn't rise with the sun in the morning. It sets on Lake Erie.
But what do you think the message is behind that?
I would love to know.
Yeah, there's something there. I still think something big is going to happen. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. I don't know if it's catastrophic or enlightening, but whatever it is, I think we're all going to know it. Let's take a few more calls here. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. First-time caller, Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hey there. I just wanted to communicate this. I think I've heard of other callers experience this before, but it was really weird for me. Back when I was about 10 years old, I'm, 46 now, but I had an experience. It was really weird. It was an old hag ghost.
Yep.
And if you've ever heard of that, I don't know. I didn't know that those existed, but it was one of those situations where I was in a bedroom going to sleep with my sister, and we shared a bedroom, and she was older, and I literally saw, we had our curtains open, and I literally saw an old lady who looked like a witch to me.
That's right.
At that time, and I've never heard or seen about these things until I literally listened to the show and heard other people experience this, but it was what you would classify as an old hag.
Yeah, it's called the old hag syndrome. It's one of two things. Hey, you felt paralyzed, right?
To this day, I cannot explain it. I woke up, looked at the lady in my window looking at me. She looked like a witch, and I don't know what to say other than I tried to wake my sister up. She wouldn't get up. I went, ran to my parents' bedroom and woke them up, came back. She was still there to me. I saw her.
But nobody else did, right?
No, nobody else did. And my dad went outside of our house, looked outside of the window, couldn't find anything. I cannot explain that. Am I going crazy?
No, not at all. There's one of two things happening. One is there's something that's truly called sleep paralysis, where you're awake, but you can't move. Your body's frozen. That's real. That's a condition that happens. But then there's the old hag syndrome that so many people have reported. That would be a great hotline one day. I think more people are having that happen to them. Happened to me when I was a kid, too. I mean, you see this old, old woman. We call her a hag because she just looks kind of like a hag, a witch. And she holds you down. And you can't breathe. You have trouble breathing. You are not going crazy, Jim. Let's go to Steve in Pittsburgh. Squeeze you in here, Steven. Go ahead.
About October, end of October, my best friend's father passed away. He's a very religious and spiritual man. And during the weekend, when they were grieving and getting ready for the funeral, my friend was looking up in the sky, and he's asking for a sign to let him know that his father was okay. And he's like, can't you send a shooting star or something? And nothing happened. And he goes to bed that night, and he wakes up at somewhere early in the morning, and first thing in his mind is, where's my iPhone? And he looks around the house. He can't find it. He wakes his girlfriend up, and she also has an iPhone. He says, find my iPhone app. I need to find my phone. And she runs it, and it says that his phone's about 12 minutes away. So they jump in the car, and they follow the GPS. And when they finally got to where the dots lined up, his girlfriend said, look up, don't you realize where we are? And he said, no, where are we? And he was in his church's parking lot. Huh. And so he's looking around for a car that might have his phone in it, and he's not seeing any familiar car, and he says, we'll run the app again, and it says, phone not found. Runs the app again, says, phone not found. He said, let's just go home. He goes home, he picks up a pair of jeans he was wearing during the day, and his iPhone falls out of the pocket. He was home the whole time.
Was always there. Love it. Love it indeed. Look, that's going to wrap up a night of open lines here for you. If you live in the greater Los Angeles area, I will be at the Conscious Life Expo hosting a very special panel with some great guests tomorrow. So if you're in the region, just go to our website as well and click the highlight reel. There's full information on that. Come on out. Love to see you. And there's going to be a reception tomorrow night as well. It's been another great week of shows. And don't forget, we've got Rob Simone and Dave Schrader for you this weekend.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you You got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Trisha Pepe, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapphart Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.